Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome, beloved, to Kingdom Gathering Online Global Church. This is your host, Apostle Minetta Hare. We are live here in the great city of Detroit. We woke up this morning with a blanket of snow covering Detroit and the metropolitan area. We have been totally blessed over the last several weeks of extended fall weather, but now winter has shown its hand, and all we have to do is adapt and adjust with our hats, our gloves, our boots, our scarves, our coats, and go forth into the work of the Lord today. I pray blessings over those that are traveling near and far. As you go to your local assemblies, as you go to your local church, as you travel the highways and the byways, may the angel of the Lord be encamped around you. No accidents out there this morning. I'm really excited as we continue our series here on our Kingdom In Gathering Online Church. If you have a question or comment, or maybe even a prayer request, you can call in. We have a call-in number for the next 30 minutes, and that number is 347-945-6272. Again, 345-945-6272. It's on my Facebook page. All of you that are listening in, it's posted on the Facebook page, but it is 1-347-945-6272. Maybe you have a question, maybe you have a comment, maybe you may want us to even pray for you. So we are live for the next 30 minutes, and we want to pray with you. We are continuing our series today, Back to the Bible, looking at biblical principles for wealth and prosperity. Biblical principles of wealth and prosperity. And so what I want to do, beloved, I pray that you have grabbed your word, which is your Bible, and you have your journal. I want to give you several passages of scriptures for you to follow along with us this morning, and then come back and do a teaching aspect. And so for your hearing, we will be reading out of Genesis chapter 14, and I want to read starting at verse 19 and 20. Genesis 14, verse 19 and 20. Then we are going to look at 2 Chronicles, chapter 31, verse 5 and 6. Then Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. And then we're going to look at Leviticus, if we get to it, Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 31 and 32. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 through 32. Those are the passages of scriptures that we will be reading this morning as we look at today's session, today's lesson. It is lesson number 6, and our focus and our theme for title is Putting God First. Putting God First. And also Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25 through 34. But the key verse is verse 6:33. Those are our passage of scriptures for today. If you are just listening in and not taking writing notes, I strongly encourage you to go back and listen in again by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will have even greater understanding, revelation, and insight to putting God first in regards to biblical principles of wealth and prosperity. Amen, amen. So let us look and read Genesis chapter 14, verse 19 and 20 for your hearing. And it says, "And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. And he gave him a tithe of all, beloved." That's the word of God for the people of God. I'm going to go on and I'm going to read the other passage of scripture, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 for your hearing. Beloved, it is an awesome word this morning as we are capturing what God is speaking to us about wealth, riches, abundance, and prosperity. If this is your first time listening in, I encourage you to go back to this series that we started in the month of November of the biblical principles of wealth and prosperity, that you would capture what God is speaking to us through his word. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 5 and 6, for your hearing, it says, "As soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought in abundance, the first fruits of grain and wine, oil and honey, and all of the produce of the field, and they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. And the children of Israel and Judah, who dwelt in the cities of Judah, brought the tithe of oxen and sheep, and also the tithe of holy things which were consecrated to the Lord their God. They laid in heaps." Amen, amen. Putting God first. When we're thinking about wealth and riches and abundance and prosperity. And then, beloved, I want you to turn over to Proverbs. Proverbs. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3. Familiar passage of scripture that ties right in to what I just read. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. 3, 9 and 10. We are excited about this word that God is speaking to us today. Proverbs 3, 9 for your hearing. "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." Amen, amen, amen. And then let us go back to Leviticus chapter 27. In verse 30 through 32, Leviticus 27, I'm giving you time because you want to read along with me, beloved, as the Holy Spirit will even give you greater revelation to the word of God this morning regarding putting God first. Amen. And so verse 30 through 32 for your hearing. "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, is holy to the Lord. If a man wants at all to redeem any of his tithes, he shall add 1/5 of it. And concerning the tithe of the herd and of the flock and whatever passes under the rod, the 10th one shall be holy to the Lord. Amen. Amen. And I'm coming back to all these passages of scripture this morning as time permits. And our last one, beloved, is found in Matthew, amen, chapter 6. And this is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us this morning. Amen. And I'm going to start at verse 24 and read to verse 34. Amen. But our key verse is 33. Amen. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will put on it. It is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than them? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet they say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day in its own trouble. This is the word of God for the people of God this morning. Amen, amen, amen. So, beloved, I shared with you quite a few passages of scriptures of looking at putting God first. Putting God first, when we look at the passage of scripture found in Genesis 14. Genesis 14, verse 19 and 20. You would go back and read the full passage of scripture. What took place with Abram and Lot had been taken into captive. But they rescued Lot, and there was great spoils, as they call it, booties, possessions that Abraham had an opportunity to take. But as you go on and read that Abraham, the king of Sodom, in verse 21 said to Abram, give me the purses and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to the shoe lashes, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest I should say, I have made Abram rich. And so we see here, beloved, Abram, who had not become Abraham yet, would not receive anything from the king of Sodom. But we see introduced here in verse 19, verse 18. Let me read that. Chesedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. So, beloved, we see here Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, and Abraham bringing forth a tithe, putting God first. We can ask, who was Melchizedek? He was obviously a God-fearing man, for his name means King of Righteousness, the King of Peace. He was a priest of the Most High God. He was recognized. He recognized God as creator of heaven and earth. And what else is known about him? There are four main theories that have been suggested that, number one, Melchizedek was a respected king of that region, and Abram was simply showing him the respect he deserved. Number two, the name Melchizedek may have been a standing title for all the kings of Salem. Number three, Melchizedek was a type of Christ, as we see in Hebrews 7:3. A type is an Old Testament event or teaching that is so closely related to what Christ did that is illustrated a lesson about Christ. And then number four, Melchizedek was the appearance on earth as the precarnate Christ in a temporarily bodily form. So those are some theories, beloved. But what I want us to focus in, to tie into Melchizedek, is that Abraham brought the tithe to a person. The church was not even established. This is Old Testament. And so we see here, beloved, the order of Melchizedek, that the tithe was given unto him. Now, I know this is going to shake some minds and some thoughts and some principles and some traditions, but the tithe was brought to the priest. Amen and ouch. Just stick with me. The tithe was brought to the priest. So we see in verse 20, Abraham, he gave one-tenth of the spoils, of the possessions, of the booties that was taken in battle against the kings of Sodom in those areas that they went into battle and overcame and was victorious. And so they took all of the possessions as well as the people. So even in some pagan societies, some pagan regions, it was traditional to give a tenth of one's earnings to the gods. So, beloved, giving a tenth was not just for those that were in the body of Israel or Abraham, but we see this was given to those pagans. They gave unto their gods. We see that right now in various religious belief that they are giving unto their God offerings. And so we see Abraham followed accepted tradition. However, he refused to take any of the spoils, any of the possessions from the king of Sodom. That's what he said. No, I will not receive or accept anything from you because you will say you made me rich. Even though it was a huge amount, which could significantly increase what he could have been given to God. So he had accepted that. He would have had even more to give to God. But he refused. He rejected. He rejected it for more important reasons. Abraham didn't want the ungodly, heathen, pagan king of Sodom to say, I have made Abram rich. That's what Abraham said in verse 22 and 23. He said, no. He was keeping God first. He gave in the order of Melchizedek. And so, beloved, he was a priest in the house of the Lord Most High. So Abraham, in this case, said, God has made Abram rich. That's what Abraham knew and expected. He wanted them to say that God has made Abram rich, not man, not an individual. Those that are listening in today, no man can make you wealthy or rich or give you great abundance or prosper you. It all comes from God. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And so, yes, the king of Sodom had great possessions and riches, but Abraham would not receive it. So in this case, accepting the gifts would have focused everyone's attention on Abram or the king of Sodom rather than on God, the giver of victory. Beloved, we know the enemy comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you would have life and you would have it more abundantly. It comes from God Almighty. So I want you to think about this, beloved. When people look at us, they need to see what God has accomplished in our lives, that God has made us wealthy, amen, that God has given us riches and that he has given us abundance and he has made us prosperous. God Almighty, beloved, putting God first, beloved. Putting God first, that we want all the glory to go to God. Amen. So using Abraham as a starting point of putting God first, keeping God first in all that we do. Now, when we look at 2 Chronicles, just to highlight what the word is telling us, even in the scripture of 2 Chronicles, as I read to you in verse 31. I just want to highlight a couple of things that's being said to us and spoken to us through the word that we are to be mindful of. What the Israelites did when there was a call for possessions. In verse 5 and 6, where Hezekiah is restoring worship. Amen. That's what, if we look at verse 5 and 6, and this is what he said. If we look at verse 4, moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests. Again, there's your priests. And the Levites, because they didn't take possession of land when the tribes were given land, that they may be encouraged in the law of the Lord. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance, a bountiful overflow, abundance of first fruits of corn, wine, oil, honey, and all the increase of the fields, and the tithe, which is a numeric number, which means tenth of all things brought they in abundantly. This is what the word of God is telling us, beloved. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah, they dwelt in the city of Judah. They were brought in the tithe, the tenth of oxen and sheep, and the tithe, the tenth of holy things, which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heap. Amen. So when we look at this, beloved, what did the Israelites do for the portion of all God provided for them? They brought it to the priests and to the Levites. And they brought in 10th, beloved. See, Hezekiah, in this passage of scripture, Hezekiah reinstated the practice of tithing, giving a tenth of one's income to the priests and the Levites so that they could be free to serve God and minister to the people. So we saw Abram give a tenth or a tithe to Melchizedek. And here we see Hezekiah reinstated the practice of tithing, of giving a tenth of one's income, which is their produce, the corn, all those things that I just read to you, the corn, the oil, the wine, the honey, and all the increase of their field, whatever they were doing from an agricultural standpoint, they gave a tenth, putting God first. First fruits and all the increase. Oh, this is exciting, beloved, because persons ask, is tithe for the day? And we're going to look at not only the tithe, but being a cheerful giver, which we already shared last week or 2 weeks ago on by being extreme givers, extreme generosity. That God wants a cheerful giver. Amen? And so, when we look at this passage of scripture, they gave, beloved, so that the priests, the fivefold ministry, could minister and serve God and minister to the people. And the people responded immediately and generously. So when we put that call out, beloved, from our ministry, that you would be a giver into the work of the ministry so we can minister to the Lord and minister to his people. The people responded immediately. They didn't hem and haw. They didn't fleece. They gave generously. See, God works needs the support of God's people. And I ask you this question. Does God receive a regular percentage of your income? Think about that, beloved. And I talked about extreme generosity because generosity makes our giving delightful to God. That we are cheerful givers according to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. How different the church would be today if all believers consistently followed this pattern. Let me read that to you, just in case you wasn't with us when we talked about out of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, beloved, we know that God loves a cheerful giver. Are you an extreme giver? Chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I know our time is coming to a close, but 2 Corinthians, oh, I went to 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Amen. And we're talking about those Macedonian givers. If you start at verse 2 and 3 and 4, read through what we're doing, beloved. And it says, "For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their abilities, they were freely willing, employing us that much urgency that we receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Amen. So in verse 9, "For you know that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that through he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that you might become rich." Amen. So you think about in your giving, beloved, you want to be a cheerful giver. That the Lord is speaking to you and to me this day. that we give with liberality, we give generously, we give radically, we give extreme in our giving, because God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Just go over one chapter. And it says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Amen. Amen. So again, God loves a cheerful giver. Beloved, putting God first, that's what we desire most of all. We're going to have to pick this up next week, beloved. We have come to the close of our time this morning. But I want you to go through and read all those passages of scriptures that I gave you as a point of contact of meditating on God's word throughout this week, of putting God first, looking at the biblical principles for wealth and prosperity to come forth in our lives. And that as we gather on Wednesday, our online Bible study, that you gather with us as we continue to look at God's covenant wealth, God's covenant wealth, beloved, that you would join with us on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that we are connecting the dots with our series on Sunday as we continue on Wednesday. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be strengthened. You're going to be empowered. You're going to be encouraged to have an even greater revelation that God desires for you to prosper and to be in good health as your soul prospers. 3 John 1:2. But also in Psalms 35:27, that the word of the Lord says he takes great delight in the prosperity of his servant, of his children. So we want you to capture what God is speaking to us in this season in relationship to wealth, riches, abundance, and prosperity. It all comes from him. It all belongs to him. And you are an heir and a joint heir in Jesus Christ, that it all belongs to our Heavenly Father. So you are a king's kid, so it belongs to you as well. But let us get a greater insight and revelation to what God is speaking to us in this time and in this season, in Jesus' name. Beloved, we welcome you to be a part of this ministry, to become a partner of hope with us, that you, beloved, will tithe and your offerings to this ministry and be a blessing. You can do that through our PayPal account, paypal.com, utilizing our email address, which is faithatworkmissions@gmail.com. That's faithatworkmissions, with an S, @gmail.com. Become like Abram and give your tithe unto the Lord through this ministry, the order of Melchizedek. Be like the children of Israel, that they poured in a tenth of their income unto the Lord for his priests and his Levites. So, beloved, as we continue to study out, have a cheerful heart, and give as your ability, beloved, in Jesus' name. We look forward to you being back with us, that we will continue to be a blessing to you Monday through Friday at 5 a.m. in the morning, Eastern Standard Time. That is our live at 5. We will be praying with you and for you. You can join with us, beloved, by dialing 1-712-770 4160, and the code is 313954 pound. We have a great blessing coming up for those. We are offering to you a global school of ministry for the body of Christ to train, to equip, to teach, and prepare you to do the work of the Lord. It is tuition free. That's right, beloved. It is tuition free. There is a registration fee, but there's no tuition cost. We want you to be a part. You must register, beloved, and there is an application, and then there is an interview that you must go through to be accepted in the Global School of Ministry. We are excited. This is a one-year program, so it's going to take a commitment. It's going to take dedication, and that we will be gathering once a week, either online or live on site. If you're in metropolitan Detroit area, we welcome you to be a part as you will go through the interview and application process and registration fee. And this is tuition free. This is a ministry blessing unto you to be a blessing. It is a full course of 32 courses. You are getting an accelerated training, Bible school, all in one, beloved, at no cost. And so we are thanking God this has been made available for our ministry to bring to you. But we need your support. And so you can email us at faithatworkmissions@gmail.com to request an application. You must request an application, and then we will send you the application, the registration form, and set up for an interview for you to be a part of the Global School of Ministry. This is for you and all those that have an interest to be trained and equipped even further in the Word of God. Amen, amen, amen. So, beloved, we are excited. We have several other schools coming up. We have our school prayer, our school of entrepreneurship, our school of wealth and finances coming in 2017. So stay tuned. Be a part of what God is doing through the Kingdom in Gatherer Ministry. We are excited that you will be blessed. You will be strengthened, you will be inspired, you will be empowered, you will be encouraged to the works of this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So, beloved, as we go about today's assignment, I pray that the peace of God, the provision of God, the protection of God, the prosperity of God, the peace of God would be upon you and your household. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. That is my prayer for you. Go in peace. Shalom, shalom. God bless you.